for them. Well, understand, Simon Peter was already married. He had a wife to take care of along with his mother-in-law. And so he had quite a lot of responsibilities. And then we find Andrew had already heard Jesus speak and he had been attracted to his teaching. But was he so touched that he would rather, that he would gather up his nets and put them away and answer that call to come? James and John's family most likely had been in the fishing business for generations. It's all their families knew in that region on how to do. They had employees, I'm sure, and clients that they needed, that needed their product. And their fishing business was more than a hobby. For them, it was a growing enterprise, we could say. And so, do they just leave all of that behind? Understand with me, trust is a big word. Did you know that? And yet, repeatedly, we read about different ones in the Bible that just stepped out in faith. Or we could say they stepped out in trust to follow God's leading. Let's look at some. There was Abraham who was called to leave his ancestral home or his family and pick up roots and go hundreds of miles away to live in the promised land. And then, of course, there's Moses, who is called back to Egypt, where he was a wanted man and instructed to do what seemed as the impossible. That being to get Pharaoh to allow the children of Israel, who were his slaves, to leave and follow the Lord God out of Egypt towards the promised land. And then there was this woman by the name of Rahab, who is called to trust God for the safety of her family by helping the Israelite spies avoid being captured inside the city of Jericho. And then, of course, there's David, who is called to trust the Lord, even as King Saul is doing everything he can to capture and kill him. And then we find there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is called to trust God by allowing God to use her to bring the Messiah, the living Word, into the world. Don't tell me God cannot use women. He can use women. Amen. All of these people, Abraham, Moses, David, Rahab, and Mary, were great leaders in their own right. But their great leadership was not based on their own innate qualities, but rather on their ability to trust and follow the Lord. Listen to what the Bible tells us about trusting God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Wow. And then Jeremiah, this is a good one. I hadn't read this in a long time. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Watch this. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The first thing we must do and continue to do with Jesus is to put our trust totally in Him. And the more we trust Him, the closer we're going to be walking with Him. And the more we trust Him, we will not only be more obedient, but we're going to become more like Him. That's our goal. That's what we strive for, to be more like Jesus. The Christian walk begins and continues with us then putting our trust in Jesus Christ. Wow. Second, answering the call requires us, watch this, to be teachable. To be teachable. You know, a lot of folks don't want to be taught. We've run across those folks that they did not want you teaching them anything, but I guarantee if you gave them the opportunity, they would tell you how the cow eat the cabbage. Amen. They had their cassettes ready to pass out to everybody. But they did not want to be accountable to anybody. Following Jesus starts with trust and continues with us developing a learning spirit. Would you say that? A learning spirit. As you read the Gospels, you discover how the lives of these four men in our text were transformed as they walked with Jesus. James and John were known as the sons of thunder, meaning they didn't hesitate to tell you how they felt about anybody or anything. Have you ever run across somebody like that? They don't care who it hurts, they're going to tell you like it is. Oh my gosh. They didn't know when to keep their mouths shut. They had to have the last say on the subject. Yet listen now, they allowed Jesus then to show them and teach them new ways to think, new ways to see things, and new ways to experience life other than the way they had been. Simon Peter, time and time again, shows us how that he struggled with Jesus' teaching. We know he put his foot in his mouth plenty of times. He was impetuous, meaning he was headstrong. He was sometimes reckless. He acted too quickly sometimes. Lord, what do you mean by loving one's enemies? Lord, what do you mean putting God before oneself? And then understanding that his main responsibility then was not to be the leader of others, but to be the one who followed Jesus the closest. Two great passages in the Bible, Psalm 46, verse 10. We see in that verse where it requires that a person be still to clear their heart and their mind and their soul and allow God to speak to them. Psalms 46, 10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And here's the other one, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It's where Paul is reminding us that we're invited to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us so that his fruit can be seen in our lives. To allow the Holy Spirit to teach us how to be loving, how to be joyful. Do you know some people need to learn how to be joyful sometimes? There's a lot of sad folks out there. You think they just ate a lemon out there. Peaceful, patient, good, faithful, gentle, and even practice self-control. Now, yes, some folks may stumble. We know we'll stumble in some of those areas. We may be good at trusting, but not so good at being teachable, possibly. On the other hand, we may be excellent at being teachable, but guess what? We struggle with trusting somebody, perhaps. It's not easy at times to be then a follower of Jesus. Did you know that? That's work sometimes. It's not always easy to put your trust into his hands completely. It's not easy to study God's word, to be open for God to show us new things, to be open for God to change our current way of thinking. Some people want to stay in a rut, Brandon. They don't want change. Whew. I'm one of those. I'll just admit. I go kicking and screaming, but I'll go. And yet, if we are going to follow the Lord and answer his call, then it means that we must trust him with our whole life, no matter what comes our way. Amen. And it means that we must be open then for God to do a new thing in our lives. Allow him to do something new in you. I have to let him do something new in me. I hope you're hearing me this morning. Abraham had to learn how to trust before Isaac was born, and especially after Isaac was born. We find Mary spent her whole life trusting and learning. She had to trust that God would take care of her and her baby boy named Jesus. learning what it means to raise a child that is both her son and at the same time the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Wow, what a task that would be. Sometimes we get comfortable and we don't want to learn anymore. When we do that, guess what's going to happen? It's like digging a ditch and deciding that we're finished. I don't need to learn anymore. I've learned all I'm going to learn. So guess what? We stop digging. We're finished. We're not going to move anymore. We've done all we're going to do. And suddenly over time we realize that we've not only dug a ditch, we have also dug ourselves a grave. And all that needs to be done is to fill it up while we stand there determined not to do anything anymore. And all the dirt comes on top of us. Amen. And that's when it gets dark and lonely. Number three, finally, answering the call to come is endless. It's a forever walk. Can you say that? It's a forever walk. It's a journey. And it can be a wonderful journey. When we choose to follow Jesus, we do that for the long haul. I'm in it for the long haul. Brother Gordon, I want to finish my purpose. I told him that on the way to church this morning. Lord, I want to finish what you've called me to do. I don't want you to take me out because I'm standing in the way. Help me to get out of the way. I want to be obedient. I want to do what you've called me to do. When you say come, I want to say come. I'll go. Amen. We're not weekend warriors. How many know that? We're not weekend followers or merely followers for just a little while. When Jesus calls us to answer his call, it's a forever invitation. Amen. It's also a double-sided invitation. Here we go. We follow him, and guess what? He leads us. He'll lead you beside the still waters. It's so funny. I keep seeing Psalm 23. When I go out there and water our goats, especially. Pigs, it don't matter. They just get in there while the water's, I'm doing the water hose all over them. They're loving it. But I'm telling you, the goats, they don't like any kind of water splashing. They'll run to the back of the field back of the pen while I'm putting water in their bowl. They don't like it to be, rough and shaken. And when it's all smooth and done, here they come. And boy, they drink it up because there's peace there. It's not, it's all. We follow him and he leads us. Now, think about that just for a few moments. We tend to think about our following Jesus. And we all know that at times we're tempted to take some detours. We're tempted to stop following him and listening to him, to do our own thing. And guess what? We find out in the end that doesn't work very well. Did you know that when we attempt to do our own thing? Opposite of what I'm just going to do that, Lord. I thank you. I ask you and you didn't tell me anything. I'm just going to go ahead and do it, And we didn't wait. We see that in the lives of the great characters of the Bible. Abraham got distracted with Sarah's handmaid Hagar. And guess what? That caused quite a mess. David got distracted by thinking he was above obeying God. And he made quite a mess throughout his life, including his affair with Bathsheba, having her husband set up to be killed and then dealing with stuff involving his children, Ammon and Tamar and Absalom. Boy, that was some stories in the Old Testament. And we find Moses then got distracted a few times, as well as we see him getting angry at the children of Israel and striking the rock when he should have been speaking to it. It was okay to strike it. He obeyed God the first time, but the second time the Lord said, "You speak to it." And he was so upset he hit it again. And guess what? That cost him, didn't it? It cost him the promised land. And yes, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, gets distracted. We find in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, It shares that Jesus' family wants him to come home because they thought he had gone mad. Wow. We could talk all day long about how many times these four men then in our passage today, along with the other disciples that would follow Jesus, got distracted. They became terrified, and even at times, we know they lost their way. But that is not the whole story. The whole story is that Jesus did not walk away from them. When Jesus calls us, it is not only an invitation for us to follow him, but it is also, watch this, a commitment that he will walk with us forever. That's his promise to us. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you through the fire. You won't be burned. You won't even smell like smoke. I'll go with you through the floods. Listen again to what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28 and 20. Behold, I am with you until the end of the age. Well, how does Jesus do something like that? He does that today through the power and his presence of his Spirit dwelling inside of us. We're never alone. You've got to know that. We will never be alone. We have the promise of God's Spirit leading us and guiding us and, yes, comfort us in our times of need. Have you ever needed God's comfort? I know I have. John 14 and 26. But the Advocate, that's the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This morning, can I tell you what our real calling is? It's so simple. Answer his call and follow Jesus. It doesn't matter how we once believed or what we were doing at the time. It doesn't matter if we were raised in a home that prayed three times a day or that home was used, they used the name of the Lord continually as a swear word. What matters is what we did when we heard the call, when we heard Jesus say, "Follow me." Abraham picks up his tents and he begins to move towards the promised land, not knowing, Brandon, not knowing where he would end up. And I'm sure Abraham's pulling up stakes caused quite a stir in his family. Well, are you sure you want to leave? Yes. Well, do you know where you're going? No. Do you know what you're going to be doing? No. And I think that is one reason why Jesus left us the disciples' prayer. Your kingdom come. Whew, your will be done. On earth, that is it, in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. And yes, most of us would love to have God give us detailed plans of what he wants to do and what he wants to do in our lives. Oh, wouldn't that have helped us in times past if it just showed us the whole picture? Abraham, you go here and do this. And Brother Gary, we'll go there. And then after that, we'll go here and here. And we're going to do this and that. How wonderful that would have been. But I compare it to looking at a set of blueprints. You don't see the whole thing at one time. You have to turn it one page at a time. One page at a time. But listen, our call is a walk by faith. It's not walk by sight. It's a walk by faith. It's a walk where God is in control of our lives. It's a walk where we are to listen and obey. It's a walk where the Lord promises us that if we follow him, guess what? He will lead us. He'll be with us to the end of the age. And he won't lead us astray. He will change what needs to be changed in us. and He'll lead us by His power. He'll lead us by His presence and the infilling of His Spirit. And listen, when we keep our eyes on Him, doesn't matter what the enemy comes at us with, we won't be deceived. I don't want to open the door to a spirit of deception. I want to know what truth is. Amen. And we learned that following the Lord can lead us down a lot of different paths, working with all kinds of various people. Good-smelling people, bad-smelling people. Amen. Rough-looking people. We may even find ourselves moving and taking a new job, making new friends. Understand with me that Matthew, the tax collector, the people hated tax collectors back then. I mean, they were bad folks. Like the IRS. They're getting their dues. They got a lot of them out of a job today. Tax collector. He became friends with Simon the fisherman and Simon the zealot, of all people. And here's Mary Magdalene, the one-time prostitute filled with demons, became friends with Nicodemus, the highly trusted Pharisee and religious ruler. You never know where God is going to take you. Did you know that? Or who He's going to bring across your path, and how those God-led relationships then will help both you and them. Can we be open to His leading today where He leads us? If somebody crosses your path, go for it. Don't ignore it. That's what I was trying to say. Don't ignore it. When we answer the call to follow Jesus, sometimes something, we know when you follow Him, supernatural things happen. Amen. There really is a transformation and an empowering that takes place. Amen. You know, for some folks, they could never say no. And they find themselves doing so much for so many people. But you know, there comes a time, with God's help, sometimes you have to say no. I can't do that today. And people don't understand, because they've always seen you say yes. But it doesn't hurt to say no sometimes. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus, John 3:5-6. Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples in John 17:13-14. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Remember what Apostle Paul was inspired to write. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So as you hear all of these words, you can hear the word Spirit then being used over and over again. And one of the greatest things about accepting the Lord, Jesus' call to follow Him, is how it transforms us again and empowers us and allows us then to experience life in a whole new level. Listen, God can transform folks that were so bashful at one time. I'm telling you, when His power comes on them, you'd be surprised. Boy, they'll surprise you in what they do. The Simon that was afraid of the Pharisees and scribes became Peter the rock that stood up to Caesar and gave his life for his faith, saying he was not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. So history does tell us they crucified him upside down. And then there's John Mark that ran away and whom the Apostle Paul wanted to just cast aside. He didn't want anything to do with him. But guess what? Mark ended up writing the gospel, listed second in our Bibles, and becoming one of the early leaders in the church at Alexandria. All it takes then is for a person willing to answer Jesus' call, doing their best to live out a life of obedience and faith. All it takes is for us to allow God to work with us and in us and through us like He did with Abraham and the disciples. I want Him to work in me and through me, not just for me. I want to be a vessel. We're not perfect vessels. He works through imperfect vessels. But He does want a clean vessel. He can't flow. His Spirit won't flow through a clogged up, dirty, filthy vessel. Each one of those disciples, including Abraham, each one answered God's call with a yes. Each one left behind a life of sin and guilt. Each one followed God wherever He led them. Each one allowed God's Spirit to transform them continually through their lives. Each one made mistakes, oh my goodness, took back steps, advanced forward and became the people God had called them finally to become. Each one experienced supernatural changes in their lives, and they were catalysts of supernatural changes in the lives of others. I want my life to affect others. Each one became a blessing to those that they met, and still to this day their lives are helping others. Abraham as the father of the faithful. Matthew, who was before a hated tax collector, who then became a follower of Jesus. And we find where it's His gospel listed first. Matthew. The gospel according to Matthew, that shares so much about Jesus' birth and His life and His death and His resurrection. Who knows how much God has worked through us and will continue to work through us if we will just let Him. Amen. Let me just ask, whose life is it that will be touched by our prayers? Amen. Whose life will be touched by us sharing our own story? Every one of us have our own story to tell. Where you were and what God did for you. And look where He brought you from. And look where you're at today. I'm so glad y'all are here today. I'm so glad y'all are part of my lives. Amen. Whose life will be touched by our sharing our own story? Whose life will be touched by our faithfulness? People are looking at our lives. How faithful are we in our walk? Whose life will be touched by the words of encouragement that we share when we step out in boldness? Amen. This morning we are called. We are all called to simply say yes to Jesus and follow Him. So can I just challenge all of us this morning to respond to that call? And if you have, then guess what? Continue to respond to the call and to finish that call in our lives. Amen? And finally, let me just challenge us to allow God to transform us even to a greater degree in the coming days and in the coming weeks. We can make a difference in just not only our lives, but in the lives of our family and in the lives of those around us who God brings across our paths. How much more would God do with us and through us in this place if we totally surrendered our hearts anew as a body and determined that we will for sure, again, continue to follow Him with our lives till He returns for us, His bride. Oh, my goodness. Let's all stand together. Gayla, I'm going to let you take a break today, brother. It's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all see what has happened over here? The keyboard's on this side. So he won't have to just work his way across to this side. He can just put the guitar on his back and just play. He might do them both at the same time. I don't know how, but that's... Anyway, Galen, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. Tara, thank you for all you do. We love you guys. And for all of you, thank you for what all of you do and the part that you play in New Life Family. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your word today. Let it take root in our hearts. Help us to truly trust you with every part of our lives. Help us to say yes to your call. Do your work. Do your work in us. We just praise you today. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love to us. Thank you that you have called us to a great work. And as Nehemiah said, we're not coming down off this wall. We're going to continue. We're going to go forward. We're not going to stop. We're going to go forward. We're going to occupy and continue to the end of the age. So, Lord, I thank you today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Anybody in here want to give your heart to the Lord? Anybody, if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus, he's here today.